We're up to paragraph Ches in Likutei Moran Tanina, Taira Hey, the Taira Tiku Emuna. We'll have a short review of what we've had till now, and then we'll pick up where we left off. This Taira Likutei Moran begins speaking about the importance of Emuna, faith, Emuna in Hashem, and Emuna Sadikim. And Rabbi Nizal explained how through a deficiency in Emuna, it could cause major problems for a person in terms of health, in terms of becoming sick, to an extent where a person could develop a sickness for which tefillah would not help, and medication wouldn't help, and going to doctors wouldn't help. And Rabbi Nizal explained that this could be a very, very serious situation. And Rabbi Nizal said the only solution for a person at that time would be to scream from the depths of his heart, a type of scream which doesn't even involve any type of sound whatsoever. It's the concept of Mima Amakim Kerosich Hashem, a concept of calling out Hashem from the depths of one's heart in desperation, without making any sound whatsoever, and still calling out Hashem. Then Rabbi Nizal said that a person who finds themselves with this type of deficiency or defect in Emunah, that person has to dig up and find the waters that nourish the Emunah, that sustain it, and that make it, that propagate it, that make it grow. And Rabbi Nizal said those waters refer to advice, the proper type of advice. And Rabbi Nizal explained how these items are tied into each other, how by a person being zeichet to the Eitzah of Kedusha, to the correct type of advice, a person is zeichet to be able to fix up his Emunah. And Rabbi Nizal also referred to spoke a little bit about the absence of advice as being referred to as a concept of cheshech, darkness, and bringing forth the advice from within the cheshech, from within the state of absence of advice, bringing forth the advice. And Rabbi Nizal connected that with the creation of the world, which was in the beginning dark and then light, the whole concept of why goats lead sheep, why goats are generally ahead of sheep in a procession, first the dark, then the light. Then Rabbi Nizal explained that in order for a person to be zeichet, to be able to draw this advice, you need a tzaddik who's called an ish tivunais, one who's on a high enough level to be able to draw this advice and to lead people on a proper path. And Rabbi Nizal said that what gives a tzaddik the power to be able to do this is a tzaddik who is constantly being mamshich, ruchnius elokus, letech tzimtzumim, a tzaddik who is constantly taking spiritual ideals and spiritual ideas and advice and shining it, constricting it, shining it into people's brains, by this manner, taking something that's ein sof, that's infinite, and bringing it into a constriction, Rabbi Nizal showed how that's what gives a tzaddik this power to draw these waters which have in them the advice, which are able to correct any deficiency, any defect in emunah that a person could have. Rabbi Nizal said that one of the problems that happens through a deficiency or defect in emunah is that we know the rule is that whenever the Jews are down, the Goyim are up. These two are always considered on two opposite sides of a scale. So that when there's an afila, whenever there's a decrease, a fall in the Emunah of Kedusha, this brings about a rise to the wrong types of Emunahs. They're called Emunahs Kuzvias, false Emunahs. I said that whenever there's a fall or a defect or a deficiency in the faith of Kiddusha, it brings about an opposite type of reaction by the faiths of the Goyim, that their false beliefs have an aliyah, they go up, and Chas v'Shalom, this counters, this makes things difficult for the Jews. Rabbi Nizal said, whereas when these deficiencies or defects in the Jewish Emunah get fixed up, when they are corrected, this could bring about such a reaction sometimes that manifests itself even among the Goyim, that sometimes by a correcting of the problems of faith among the Jews, this could bring about a situation where Goyim find in their books something that causes them to become attracted to the Jewish faith. And Rabbi Nizal says sometimes this actually manifests itself in an actual case where a goy converts as a result of a Jew correcting his own problems in faith through this ish tivunais, through the tzaddik emes who helps him to correct his problems in faith. Sometimes as a result, we'll find a whole multitude or individuals among the goyim who will convert and join the Jewish faith. Whereas Rabbi Nizal said at times it manifests itself in these goyim simply becoming closer to Hashem within their own religions. They still maintain their own religion, but they believe more in a concept of monotheism, in other words, faith in Hashem. Rabbi Nizal said that these converts who become attracted to Judaism at times, not everything is good about that. At times, they present problems to the Jewish people, and this is why we find the Gemara says that we generally don't invite converts. We don't go out, we don't encourage it in any way. If a convert shows a willingness to become attracted, we accept him. And once we accept him, we treat him in many ways more delicately and with more respect than we give to a regular Jew. This the Torah warns in many, many places. However, we don't encourage it or invite it. The reason being, because Rabbi Nizal says that these converts, we know that when the Jews are downtrodden, where is all the glory that actually belongs to the Jews? That glory has fallen into the hands of the Goyim. When the Goyim become attracted to Judaism and they join Judaism, what happens? They bring back with them this glory that was originally in their hands. This glory that factually belonged to the Jews, and they possessed it, and now a convert comes back, he brings this back with him. Rabbi Nizal said, at times, this glory falls into the wrong hands, and we find people among the Jews who are not worthy of being leaders. They're ones whom Hashem would not want to see in a leadership position, and because this glory that the converts have brought back with them has fallen into the wrong hands, it falls into the hands of these leaders, and they get put into power, and they use their power to dictate to people what to do. And Rabbi Nizal says at times they can even punish people for not complying with their requests, with their wishes. Now Rabbi Nizal said that another problem that comes about through this glory falling into the wrong hands is that it causes a decrease in the problem of taivas niyuf. That desire, which is considered the worst, the most negative to a Jew in many ways, to have an illegal type of desire for women, Rabbi Nizal says that this gaiva, this arrogance, this glory that these converts bring back with them, when it falls into the wrong hands, it causes an increase in this desire, this illegal type of desire, among the whole Jewish people. And Rabbi Nizal proves this from a pasuk. There's a pasuk that says, Eishes ish nefesh yikora totsu, that these two go together, gaiva, arrogance, glory, haughtiness, and women, this illegal desire for women, or this illegal attraction between men and women, is brought about through gaiva, through arrogance. The minute a man shows himself as being arrogant, that's what attracts women. The hair, all the items that are a reflection of gaiva, this is what generally attracts women. Rabbi Nizal says, who protects the Jewish people? In other words, once this whole cycle goes into effect, that a Jew suffers a deficiency in emunah, and it gets fixed up by tzaddikim, by the tzaddik emes, who the ish tevunais, who fixes it up through etzais, and this brings about converts, and these converts bring this glory, and this glory brings about an increase in this wrong type of desire for women. Rabbi Nizal says, how do we protect ourselves against this? There are certain tzaddikim who are called the moginim shebedoyer, the protectors of the generation, and by them perfecting themselves in purity in Tikkun HaBris, by them conducting themselves with complete purity in Tikkun HaBris, this is what protects the Jewish nation as a whole from falling victim to this type of sin. And Rabbi Nizal explained that this purity of these tzaddikim in Tikkun HaBris is referred to as tefillin. Tefillin represent the holiness of the brain, the purification, the highest level of kedusha of the head, of the brain. And Rabbi Nizal says that these tzaddikim, by them keeping themselves exceptionally pure, by going through tests in Tikkun HaBris and coming out completely pure, by them doing this, they cause the oils, that which sustains the brain. The brain is compared to a candle that's burning in a person's head. What nourishes that candle? The oils of the body. These oils, when a person commits the sins, the wrong types of sins with women, where he has Rachmona Litzlon, Zera Levatola, that type of item, that's the concept of releasing these oils in an improper manner. He's wasting these oils, which normally nourish the brain, he wastes them, and thereby he weakens the brain. Whereas these tzaddikim, who keep themselves exceptionally pure in this item, they see to it that all the oils of the body are maintained 100% in terms of quantity and quality. By doing that, they ensure that their brain is being nourished on the highest level, and they represent perfection of the tefillin, which represent purity of the brain. And this is why we said that the leaders, the super leaders of the Jews, are known as a unit of seven. They're called the seven shepherds of the Jews.
Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David, they correspond to these 7 points on the tefillin. On a Jew's tefillin, he has 2 shins there. 1 shin consists of 3 heads. 1 shin consists of 4 heads. Those 7 heads of the tefillin correspond to the 7 leaders, outstanding leaders of the Jews, who are called these Moginim Shebedor, the protectors, those who are outstanding in Tikkun HaBris especially. And they're the ones who maintain, who save the Jews from suffering any catastrophes in terms of this Taivas Niyuf, which is brought about by converts joining the Jewish people. This is pretty much the part that we were up to. Rabbein Ezal injected one other point. Rabbein Ezal said that once a person is zaycha to this purity of the brain, and the brain is functioning totally properly, that's not enough. A person has to see to it that the brain should be kept in check. Just as when we talk about Tikkun HaBris, there's a concept of a Jew being limited. Tikkun HaBris doesn't mean having no association with women, chas v'shalom. A Jew who does that is violating the laws of Tikkun HaBris. A Jew is required to get married, so he is required to have association with women. The whole concept, the whole holiness comes about through a limited association with women, meaning there are 6 million women in the world. He must limit himself to one. He must confine himself, restrict himself to one, his own wife. And even within his own wife, he must limit himself. There are days of purity, days of impurity. He must limit himself to the days of purity. Within the days of purity, one who's classified as a Talmud Chacham, one who wants to be exceptionally religious, he restricts himself still further, only to certain times, only on Shabbos, Yontif, certain special times of the year. Those are the only times he has association with his wife. So Rabbein Ezal says so too when it comes to the brain, as far as a person thinking in general. Here also, there is a concept of tzimtzum, where on the tefillin, the name of Hashem that's inscribed on the tefillin represent the perfection of the brain, the name of Hashem that's inscribed on the tefillin is Shakai. Shin Dalid Yud. And that name Shakai refers to tzimtzum, constriction. Rabbein Ezal says a person's brain, he has to see to it, each person has a boundary within which he's permitted to think, he's permitted to ask questions about Hashem and delve deeply into knowledge of Torah, but each person has a certain boundary beyond which he's not permitted to think according to whatever level he's on. And this, so we see this concept of Tikkun HaBris and the brain both require this concept of tzimtzum, control, limiting, in other words, restricting, confining up to a certain point. And this was pretty much where we had left off last time. We're up to Ois Ches, paragraph Ches. Rabbein Ezal says, Val Yedeze, through these tzaddikim, who undergo difficult tests in Tikkun HaBris, and they pass these tests, and they develop the purity of the mind, which is represented by this mitzvah of tefillin. Vayideze nasin diburin ksheirim lahachyos ulahoshives hanashomais hanafulois. Rabbein Ezal says, through this purity in Tikkun HaBris that these tzaddikim achieve, they are zeichet to create pure words which are able to give life and to restore the souls of those neshamas that have fallen. Those people who have suffered a fall in religion and they require restoration. They have to be restored back to their original state of purity, their original capacity of holiness. These tzaddikim will keep themselves pure in Tikkun HaBris. They're able to restore, they're able to create words which have the power to restore the souls of those who need this restoring. Rabbein Ezal explains now, Ki yesh neshamos shenoflu, there are neshamos, souls of the Jews that have fallen, shetzrichen lahachyos ulahoshivosam, they have to be given life, and they have to be restored, b'chol minei matamim, with all kinds of delicious items, hameshivin es hanefesh, which restore the soul. Just as when a person, chas v'shalom, loses consciousness, we find, how do you generally bring him back, how do you revive him? You have to give him strong smelling salts, some kind of very powerful spice that brings them around. So too, when a person suffers a spiritual fall, loss of consciousness, You have to be able to restore him back to life, to bring him back to life. You have to have something very that has a powerful taste or a powerful aroma, as we're going to see, to be able to bring him back to life spiritually. The Bechinas, as the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, the Shechina says to Hashem, Samchuni bo'ashishus rabduni batapuchim ki cholas avoni. The Shechina says, the Jewish nation says to Hashem, ki cholas avoni. I'm very, very sick. My love for Hashem is so much that I'm love sick in a sense. A person yearns for something so much that they get sick from yearning for it. And the Pasuk says, Samchuni bo'ashishus, please restore me with cups of wine. Wine is a powerful item that could restore a person, it could bring a person back. Rapduni batapuchim. And restore me with sweet, powerful smelling apples that were placed around the bed of a person sometimes, where the aroma, the smell, that sweet smell sometimes brings a person back. This is the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim of the Jews speaking to Hashem when they feel sick at times, they feel very low, and they feel they need to be restored with this wine, the powerfulness of the wine, and the sweet smell of the apples. V'al-yidei tikkun v'zikuch ha-moichin, through the correction and purification of the brain. Shena sa'al-yidei mogine eretz hanal, which is performed through the tzaddikim, who we just referred to. Mizeh nase imrois tohoirois lachyosam. By these tzaddikim keeping their brain very, very pure, that's what allows them to create the words that are necessary to inspire these people who have fallen and to bring them back, to restore life to them. Rabbi Nizal explains now, Ki ikar hizgalus hamoyach hu bahadibur. When we talk about a tzaddik, who has purified his brain, is there any way for us to detect the purification of his brain? What do? Take a telescope and look inside? No. There is one organ of the body that allows us to inquire, do an inquiry into a person's brain. What is that? His mouth. When a person speaks, the words that he's speaking come from the brain. They originate from the brain, and they are the manifestation of what's in the brain. So Rabbi Nizal says now, Ki ikar hizgalus hamoyach ubadibur, the main revelation of a person's mind, of a person's brain, is in his speech. Kemoshikosu, as the Pasuk says, Mishlei mipiv das usvuna, that a person's wisdom and intellect is reflected in his mouth, from his mouth. And therefore, kishehamoichin zakim, when these tzaddikim purify their brains, they keep their brains pure through this high level of tikkun abris. They see to it that all the oils of the body are kept intact and the brain is being nourished properly. Nasen diburim ksherim. Through this purity of the brain, that's what allows them to speak forth pure words, real solid words. Ubohem, and with these words, meishivim es haneshama es hanefulois. They're able to restore these fallen souls. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says in Mishlei, we find this terminology used about wisdom, about chachomim, shivo meishivei tam, that chachomim are called in Mishlei those who restore the taste, those who bring back the taste, the flavor. So we see that this is one of the functions of a Talmud Chacham, of a Tzaddik, to be able to restore the life of a person which is represented in the senses, the sense of smell and taste, to be able to restore that within a person. Hainu al yidei tefillin meichin, through this tefillin, this purity of the brain which we spoke about before, shehein bechinas shiva royim. This purity of the brain represents this concept of these seven tzaddikim, these seven shepherds who correspond to the seven heads on the tefillin. Al yodom nasen shiva meshive tam. Through these tzaddikim, they create these seven spices, like these seven tasty items that are able to restore the taste, restore the lost flavor in the person. Hainu bechinas diburim ksherim kanal. These are the good words that we were speaking about before, these powerful words of Musar, of Teichacha, that are able to bring people back to life. Shebohem meishivin haneshomo shenoflu. With these words, these tzaddikim are able to bring back, to return, to bring to tshuva these souls that have fallen. Rabbi Nizal says, Shehim bechinas sheva yipoil tzaddik v'kom. The Pasuk says in Tehillim that a Rasha suffers one fall and that's enough to knock him out of religion totally. Whereas the pasuk says, Sheva yipoel tzaddik. A tzaddik can sometimes even fall seven times, v'kom, and he'll still pick himself up and come back, return to religion. So we see this concept of falling is referred to by the number seven. The pasuk in Tehillim says that a one who's good can even fall seven times and come back. So the restoration of one who has fallen is also referred to by this number seven. It depends on the purity of the brain, which is reflected in the tefillin by these seven heads, which is achieved by seven unique tzaddikim, the seven shepherds of the Jews. They are the ones who achieve this purity, and through that they're able to speak forth words which have this koyach of shivo meshivei tam, these seven types of spices, in a sense, that are able to restore life to a Jew who has suffered a spiritual type of death. Rabbi Nizal says, this is what's hinted to in another pasuk in Tehillim. Vizehu, this is what the pasuk says in Tehillim, Imrois Hashem Amorois Tehoirois. The words of Hashem are very, very pure, Mizukok, and they are purified, they are refined, Shivosayim, seven times. Shivosayim means seven or seven squared times. So we see this concept of purity of words. David HaMelech refers to it as a purity of seven refinements, seven levels of refinement. Hainu, Bechinas, Huamores, Tahoirois, these pure holy words that tzaddikim speak. Shenasin, how do these words come out pure? Alidei Ziku Hamoichin, through the fact that these tzaddikim purify their brains, they refine their brains, Bechinas Tfilin, they elevate their brains to the level of Tfilin. Shehem Bechinas Shivaroyim, these tzaddikim in totality are summarized by these seven outstanding shepherds of the Jews. This is what allows them to speak forth words that have these seven powers of restoring the soul. This is why David HaMelech uses the term purified. This mezukok, this purification, refers to the brain. They purify these seven divisions within the brain, and by doing that, they're able to have these pure words come out. Their words come out with a purity that's able to allow them to restore the souls. And what Rabbi Nizal is speaking about here in the simplest of terms is, we know that there are many people who undertake this task of creating Bali Tshuva, bringing people close to religion. Rabbi Nizal is making it very clear here that in order, a person who has fallen away from religion, that's a person who has suffered a spiritual fall or a spiritual death. He needs to be revived. To revive someone, you need a very pure, powerful spice. Meaning, if I take smelling salts and I dissolve it, meaning I dilute it, and I try to put it in front of somebody's nose who's out, it's not going to work. It's not going to be able to bring him back to life. You need a real powerful spice. How do you generate that powerful spice? We know generally how you make somebody. You have to speak to him. You have to be able to speak to him powerful words that will shake him back to life, that will activate him. In order that your words should be able to have that effect, where do the words come from? The words originate from the brain. Mipiv dasuspuna. So according to how pure a person keeps his own brain, that's what's going to determine the words that come out of his mouth, how much success he can have in bringing a person close to religion, and how good that person's discarvus is going to be. Rabbi Nizal says that this purity of the brain is dependent on purity in Tikkun HaBris. So it's tzaddikim specifically who purify themselves in this item of Tikkun HaBris. They undergo battles, their own battles, and they're victorious in this battle, and there's zeichah to this purity of Tikkun HaBris, which manifests itself in a purity of the brain, this concept of meichen tefillin. This is what allows them to speak this, what David HaMelech refers to in Tehillim as Imrois Hashem Amorois Tehoirois, because Mezukok Shivosayim, because they are represented by this seven levels of purity. Now note, usually it's very rare that we apply the number seven to the brain. Usually we talk about the three parts of the brain, but in actuality, there is a concept of seven parts to the brain. Number one, you have the Sheva Machlefos Roshoi. You have a term that's used about seven different parts of the skull that's used in the Navi. You have the Zion Gildena De'ena that the Tikkun Ezra refers to, seven specific parts of the eye. The eyes are the main windows of the neshama, the main windows of the brain. And at the same time, we we find the brain is referred to sometimes as Chochma Bina in Das, which is three levels. At other times, it's referred to as Keser Chochma in Bina, which means in actuality, there are what are known as Gimel Meichen, three parts to the brain that we refer to sometimes, and sometimes it's referred to as four parts of the brain, because we find by Bezalel, for example, the one who was the genius who helped Moshe Rabbeinu in constructing the Mishkan, the Pasuk says that Hashem gave him Chochma u'tevuna v'da, I forget the exact wording of the Pasuk, but it refers to four levels of wisdom there, four levels of wisdom. So it's the combination of the three parts of the brain that we usually refer to, and these four levels of wisdom that are sometimes referred to in the Torah, that's what makes up this totality of seven, which we find in many, many different cases. When a kala goes around, when a Jew gets married, and under the chuppah, the kala goes around her husband seven times, what's the significance of that? That's this seven levels of purification of the brain. A chassan, a Jew gets married, he's forgiven, all of his sins are forgiven. What does that mean? What does sins represent? Sins represent a deficiency in brain power. The neshama is the brain. Sins cause a defect in the neshama, a defect in the brain. When a person is zeicher to get married, it means his brain is achieving a brand new level of purity, heightening, that it never achieved before. That's why the word kiddushin is used. Kodesh is always referred to as Chachma. We say Kodesh, 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 Hashem Tzvokos. Those three Kodeshes refer to the three parts of the brain. The term Kodesh always refers to Chachma, Kodesh Likol B'chor. We mentioned Kodesh, Yisrael Hashem, Reishis Tvosa. We mentioned many psukim that prove this. When a chassan is getting married, we're talking about the highest level purification of the brain. What do we mean by purification of the brain? It means achieving new wisdoms. That wisdom which a person has already attained, that's inside of his brain. The wisdom that a person has not yet attained, how do we refer to that? We refer to that as makifin. It's outside of his brain. It surrounds his head. He has not yet been zeicha. Each and every Jew has layers and layers of makifin outside of his head. Wisdoms that are there, he just hasn't been zeicha yet to incorporate this wisdom into his own brain. This is the symbolism when a kala goes around the chassan, she walks around him seven times. Each time she goes around him, she helps his brain to become elevated one of these seven levels of makifin. So to the mitzvah of sukkah, for example. The sukkah is this makif, this item that envelops the Jew, it surrounds the Jew. What does the sukkah correspond to? The seven holy clouds that traveled with the Jews throughout the desert. What were these clouds? The symbol of makif, anani akovai, that surrounded the brain, that symbolized this zikuk, this mezukok shivosayim, this seven levels of purification. This is why sukkah is basically 7 days. Shmini Atzeres is chag b'fnei atzmo. This is also the concept of Shiva, when a Jew passes away. What's the most significant part of a Jew? The neshama. It means the Jewish people on a whole have suffered a loss of wisdom. One unit of wisdom of the Jewish people has left the world. It's become diminished. How do we restore it? By keeping 7 days of Shiva, and those 7 days specifically trying to do mitzvahs, to pray in that person's house, to read the Torah there, to eat tikkun, to give kiddush those 7 days. The purpose of those 7 days is to try to restore the full measure of brain power, of seichel, of kiddusha, that has been lost by the loss of a Jew, by the passing away of a Jew. And there are many other items that are tied into this. Any questions on this paragraph? No, we continue. And now Rabbi Nizal says, we find the Gemara tells us in Brachas, in the Sefer Brachas, there's about three or four sides, pages of Gemara that speak about the topic of dreams. Dreams are not a completely insignificant item. The Gemara says that there isn't a dream. A person never has a dream without any chaff in it. In other words, without any waste matter in it. Every single dream always has some aspect of waste matter in it. But dreams also have tremendous significance. For example, we find in this week's parsha that the whole salvation of the Jewish, of Yosef HaTzadik, came about through a dream. Paro had a dream, and this dream brought about the whole Yeshua of Yosef HaTzadik. The whole concept of the holiday of Hanukkah, as we're going to mention soon, is tied into this concept of dreams, specifically. So the Gemara there says that basically, when a Jew has a dream, it could come from one of two sources, either a source of purity or impurity. The pure source, the Gemara, the terminology that's used in the Gemara, when a Jew has a dream that's totally real, that's accurate, it's called chalom al yedei malach, a dream that comes from an angel, whereby an angel gives this person this dream, and this dream is a revelation, it's a form of a revelation. The Gemara says the dream that's inaccurate, that's coming from impurity, is called chalom al yedei shed, a dream that comes from a shed. Shedim are forces, it's not an angel, it's something that's in between an angel and a human being. These are spirits, certain forms of bad spirits that try to do damage to human beings many times. But now I was going to explain both of these avenues from which dreams can come from, and he's going to show how a person's dream is tied into these tzaddikim who are zeichet to this purity of the brain. Rabbeinu Zalstis, now paragraph test in Likutei Moran Tanina Terehei. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh bechinas chaloyim al yedei malach." This is the concept of a dream coming from an angel. Ki elu hamamorois heim bechinas malach. These words, which these tzaddikim speak, these words of purity with which they restore people's souls, these words are the concept of an angel. Bechinas chaloyim al yedei malach, the concept of a dream that comes from an angel. Why? Rabbeinu Zal can explain now the association between dream, the concept of a dream, and a person's speech, and how they're both tied into the brain. What does a dream come from, generally? What do people usually say? The dream is a person's imaginative power. When a person goes to sleep at night, the brain, he closes his brain. The eyes, we said before, are the main ducts of the brain by which a person absorbs most of his knowledge, especially religious knowledge. It doesn't come through the ears, it comes through the eyes. The pasuk says, "V'hoyu einecha royes esmarecha." When a person learns, he's supposed to look at the sefer, look at the words in the sefer, and the Gemara tells us, "Oisi ois machkimois," that the letters have a power to give wisdom. When a person learns from a rebbe, he learns with his eyes. The eyes are the ones. So those eyes, at night, when a person closes his eyes, what does that represent? It represents a shutting down of the brain. The brain is no longer functioning at night. If that's the case, what is a dream? A dream is something that's from the residue. A person's brain was functioning all day. When he shuts it down, there's like some remaining electricity in the machine. This imaginative power, that's what takes over at night when the person is sleeping. Rabbeinu Zal explains now, Ki hadibur hu harashimu shalamoyach. A person's speech, when a person talks, the speech is an imprint of the brain. The speech is a reflection of what's in the person's brain. Kima shenirsham v'ne'elam b'moyach, that which is engraved and hidden in a person's brain, nechkak v'nirsham b'hadibur, is also inscribed and presented in that person's speech. Whenever a person speaks, he's notifying the people around him of that which is in his brain. Except for some people who, unfortunately, before they disengage their mouth, they keep the brain disengaged, locked up before they start talking, and by them it's Rahman al-Aslan, it's the mouth is operating without any close association with the brain. But normal is, where these two are closely hooked up together, anything that comes out of a person's mouth is coming only from the brain, not from any other part of the body. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Kim ukishamoich and zakim." When the brain is pure, shaydezer nas and imrois tahayrois, that causes that whatever comes out of this person's mouth is also pure. Kanal, as we said before, azai gam kishenestalek hamoyach b'shas sheno. Such a person whose brain is pure and whatever he speaks is pure, such a person, even when he goes to sleep and his brain leaves him, in other words, his mayach is nistalik at that time, he shuts down the brain, ve'ein nishar rak harishimu shel amoyach, and all that's left is like the imprint of what was there during the day when the brain was actively functioning, shehu bechinas dibur, which is similar to the concept of speech. Speech is a reflection of the brain. When a person goes to sleep at night and shuts down of the brain, there's also some type of reflection of what's left over in the brain. Azai gam horeshimo zako. A person whose brain is generally pure, then even the remainder, the residue of what's left when the brain shuts down, is also pure. Bebechinas chaloim al yidei malach. This is what the Gemara nicknames a dream coming from an angel, meaning a person who has pure dreams, holy dreams. Period. This is a concept. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to show a completely something that seems totally unrelated, and he's going to show how this is also a manifestation of this. We know that which Jew was given the nickname Brain? Which Jew was the brain of the Jewish people? Moshe Rabbeinu, the one who taught the Jews the whole Torah. We refer to him as the brain. He symbolizes the Das of the whole Jewish nation. When Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, Moshe Rabbeinu's passing away is a concept of the brain leaving. It's a concept of going to sleep, the Jewish nation going to sleep. Just as when a person goes to sleep, his brain, his thinking power, his regular thinking power closes up, it closes down, so too when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, in a sense, this was similar to the brain power of the Jews closing down, the Jews going to sleep. Rabbeinu Zal says, v'zeh b'chinas, this corresponds to the fact that she'achar histalkus Moshe, if you study the Torah, you find that right after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, what was the next incident that happened to the Jews immediately after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away? Bo sar tzevo Hashem, an angel came to Yehoshua. An angel came and revealed himself to the student of Moshe Rabbeinu, to Yehoshua. V'omar, and the angel said, Ato Bosi, now I have come. Those were the opening words of the angel to Yeshua. He said, now I have come. Rabbeinu Zal explains the symbolism in this. Rabbeinu Zal says, Histalkus Moshe, the passing away of Moshe Rabbeinu, Zebechinas Histalkus Hadas. That's the concept of the brain closing down, the brain leaving. Bechinas Shena, a concept of sleep. She'oz Hadas Mistali. At which point in every Jew's daily cycle does the brain shut down? When he goes to sleep. Ve'ein nishar rak harashimu. And all that's left is the imprint, the remainder of what's left over from this whole day's worth of active work of the brain. Azai hu bechinas vayoymer ani sarat zvo Hashem. At that point, the person achieves this level of what this angel said. This angel said to Yeshua, I am a messenger of Hashem. I am an angel of Hashem. Dahainu Malach, this angel revealed the fact that he was an angel. Ato Bosi, now I have come. Ki oz nishar harishimu. That when the brain shuts down, when the person goes to sleep, that's when what's left is this imprint, this reflection of what was there during the day. Bechinas Malach, this concept of the angel. Bechinas chaloim al yidei malach kanal. This is what the Gemara refers to as a dream coming from an angel. So Rabbeinu Zal is associating two totally different concepts and showing how they're sort of following the same trend. Just as a Jew, throughout the day we refer to his brain as being active. At night it shuts down, and any thinking process that goes on within that person's head, it's not based on active working of the brain. The brain is gone. It's gone at night. What is it? It's the residue. The fact that the brain was working throughout the day, according to what, you know, as people say, what are dreams usually based on? What you were thinking about during the day. But then why isn't the dream exactly what I thought about? The answer is because it's not the brain. It's some kind of an imprint of what the brain saw during the day. It becomes expanded and exploded and manifests itself in the person's dream at night. So when the brain shuts down, where does this come from? One of the sources from which this comes from is an angel. So at the time when the brain shuts down, a person whose brain was really, really pure, that's the time when an angel comes to him. Rabbeinu Zal says we find another manifestation of this when the brain of the Jewish nation as a whole left, and the Jewish nation as a whole went to sleep. We find what happened at that time: an angel came to them. This refers to the concept of a dream which is brought by an angel. Period. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh b'chinas." This is what's referred to in Tehillim, where David HaMelech says, the pasuk says, "Hashem yitain oimer hamevasrois tzavarov." Hashem sometimes gives forth His words, which are related to us through tzavarov, through a large army. This refers to angels. That at times Hashem reveals His wishes, His requests to the Jewish people through angels. What would be one of the forms of that? When a Jew has a dream which is brought to him by an angel, and Hashem reveals Himself to the Jew in that manner. We find many, many big tzaddikim, the Gemara even tells stories of rabbis who had dreams, and in their dreams was revealed to them the wishes of Hashem, what Hashem wanted them to do. Not necessarily can one of us, a person on our level, follow the dictates of his dream, and the minute he sees a dream, use that as advice and say that this is divine inspiration, etc. That's baloney. This obviously refers to people who keep their brains very, very pure throughout the day. They are ones by whom there's a potential for this type of revelation coming from an angel. Otherwise, we might be forced to assume that this person's dreams are mostly nonsense, unfortunately. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh b'chinas Hashem yitain oimer hamavasrois tzavarov." Hashem yitain oimer zeh b'chinas imrois tahirois. Hashem speaking to a person, that's obviously pure words. We're talking about a purity of words. Rabbeinu Zal says, "B'chinas horeshimu shel amoyach." This refers to the imprint of the brain, "Shezeh b'chinas malach kanal," which is coming from an angel when it's purity. V'zehu hamevasrois tzavarov, which is related to us through a big army. This word tzava is usually one of the nicknames of the angels. The angels are called tzavokais. The armies of Hashem are called tzavokais, angels. Rabbeinu Zal says, v'zehu hamevasrois tzavarov, haynu malochim kanal. This refers to angels. So that one of the manners in which a tzaddik is zeiche, to be able to speak with a tzaddik who is zeicha to have these imrois tahirois, these pure words, how? By having purified his brain. At times, such a tzaddik will be zeicha to this hamavasrois tzavarov. He will be zeicha to have dreams through a malach in which will be revealed to him heavenly types of things. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to quote a short sentence that's found in the writings of the Arizal that seems to have no practical application to us in life, and Rabbeinu Zal is going to show how this chiddush of the Arizal actually explains what we just said. The Arizal says we know that one of the names of Hashem is called Shakai. Shin, Dalet, Yud. Shin is 300, Dalet is 4, Yud is 10. So together this is 314 in its regular form. We know that we have in Gematria, we have something called Milui, when something is written out fully, when the Shin is not just counted as 300, it's counted as though it were written the way it's pronounced. Shin, Yud, Nun. That's Shin. Shin Yud Nun, which has a value of 360. Dalit is as though it were Dalit Lamed Tuf. Dalit Lamed Tuf, which has a value of 434. Dalit is 4, Lamed is 30, Tuf is 400. Yud is as though it were written Yud Vav Dalit, which has a value of 20. So the Milui of Shakai is actually 814 when you total it up. The Milui is 814. The original form, just the first letters, the Shin, Dalet, and Yud, are 314, which means, what is the residue of Shin, Dalet, Yud? In other words, taking off the front letters, what is just the fullness of it? It's Begimatria 500, you understand? Shin Dalet Yud itself is 314. When you fill it out completely, the totality is 814, which means just the filling out portion consists of 500. So the Arizal writes in his Sforin that the Milui of the name of Hashem Shakai is Begematria, another name of Hashem called Tzevokos. There is a name of Hashem, Tzadik, Beis, Aleph, Vav, Tav. Tzevokos is one of the names of Hashem. That name, if you add it up, it's Begematria. The letters are Begematria 499. With the Kalel, with the word itself, it's 500. Tzevokos is 500. So the Arizal says that the Miloi of Shakai is Begematria Tzevokos. Now the question is, what does that have to do with my breakfast, or lunch, or supper, or mikvah? What does that have to do with anything? Why would the Arizal say something like this? In other words, why are these thoughts found in the writings of the Arizal if there's no practical application in religion for us to be able to come closer to Hashem through this? The answer is, there's nothing that's written in books of Kabbalah that doesn't have some kind of manifestation for us, some kind of practical application in serving Hashem. And this is what most of Rabbeinu Zal's teachings are based on, the teachings of Rabbeinu Zal and the other big tzaddikim, the Tanya, other Sforim HaKadoshim, are all based on taking the writings of the Arizal, which seem closed. We don't seem to see any obvious revelation there of that could be applied in practical terms to serving Hashem. And these tzaddikim, Rabbeinu Zal, these other very, very great tzaddikim who understood the true meaning of the writings of the Arizal, they were able to present it to us to show us what the practical applications of these are. We're going to find one example of this now. Rabbeinu Zal is going to take this chiddush and show us how this applies to us. Rabbeinu Zal says now, "V'zeh b'chinas ma shemuva b'kisvei ha'arizal." This is tied into what is found in the writings of the Arizal. "Shetzevokos hu hanelam shel shakai." That Hashem's name Tzevokos is gematria, the hidden portion. Neela means the hidden part of Shakai, meaning ki hanelam shel shin dalet yud. If you look inside, the hidden part of shin dalet yud, meaning the yud nun of the shin and the lamed tuf of dalet and the vav dalet of yud, the part that you don't see when you just write this word regular, who bigematria tzevokos im ha-koylel, has a numerical value of tzevokos with the koylel, kimavur shom, as is explained in the writings of the Arizal, is referred to as his hadas, where the... Now note, we find there are certain examples, like by the Arizal. The Arizal writes that when he used to go to sleep, he was given permission, his neshama was taken to heaven, and he was awake, he was physically awake in a sense at the time, he was there to learn fantastic things there. That's a very, very exceptional situation, where even in his state of sleep, his das was fully functional. Whereas the norm in our form and in Sifrei Kabbalah, we refer to the state of mind of sleep as his Stalkus Adas, where the brain leaves, the imagination takes over. What is the imagination? It's based on the residue of the imprint of which the brain formed throughout the day, which, depending on how pure that is, that will determine what outside forces will actually bring things to that person at night, such as a malach, who could bring a package neatly wrapped and tied up and everything to that person, which is a revelation of the words of Hashem, or chas v'shalom, a shade at times, could bring other wrong types of thoughts to the person, chas v'shalom, you know, at night.
Out of the realm of sleep, the koyach ha-dimyon is power.
Correct.
Is that related to das?
That's going
to
be within the second half of this paragraph is going to be talking about the koyach ha-medamed. That's what Rabbeinu Zal calls it. Literally, we're an inch away from that. That's going to be our next topic within this paragraph. And this is why I said the association with Hanukkah, because the word medame, what is Hanukkah? We said yesterday in the Shir, Hanukkah is the purity of the mind, right? The eighth level of wisdom. The highest wisdom that you could achieve in this world is seven. Hanukkah is the eight candles, which means drawing from the eighth, from Olam Haba, into this world. Medame, the word medame means dimyon, imagination, meaning where a person lacks clarity of the brain. In other words, he's able to think of everything under the sun except what he's supposed to be. He's not able to zero in to concentrate his brain power on what he should be concentrating it in a sense. The word Hanukkah is bigimatria medame. Rabbi Rosenfeld once mentioned this item, that the word Chanukah is begematria medame, because these two are equal opposite forces. Chanukah represents the exact opposite. And that's why on Chanukah, the reading of the Torah, what do we read about? The dreams of Paroi, the interpretation of the dreams of Paroi. In Likutei Halachos, there's many, many pages showing the association between the whole Parashas Miketz, the dreams of Paroi, and Yosef HaTzadik, who was exceptionally pure in Tikkun HaBris. That's what gave him the power to be able to understand the Medama and everything, and to be able to interpret the dreams of Paroi, tied into all the laws and mitzvahs of Chanukah. I'm just throwing out some hints to give you an idea that there's a lot more than what we're doing, a lot deeper. In chapter Nun Malad of the Gemara, that's where Ben Ezal ties in the whole concept of Medama with Zikoron, that the association between those two, and that was just about everybody dreams at night. The question is how much you remember of what you dream. That's where the distinction comes in. So therefore, that you can't assume that if you don't remember in the morning having dreamed, that means that you definitely didn't dream.